Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Judy Joy Jones Show. You were just listening to Belgian classical composer Stefan Maillart. Stefan composed the beginning of the Judy Joy Jones Show theme, and he also composed the ending of it. It's quite lovely. Thank you, Stefan. We are still enjoying it ever so much. I want to welcome everyone tonight. We are very, very privileged to have two exceptional guests. The first guest I'm going to tell you about, his name is Robert Schwartz. Robert is the author of a book called Your Soul's Plan. Robert is one of the people that is quite familiar with previous lives. And did you plan your life? Before you were born, did your parents pick you? Did you pick your parents? Robert would say yes. And if you read his book, Your Soul's Plan, Discovering the Real Meaning of the Life You Planned Before You Were Born, you're going to read all about it. We are lucky enough to also have Stacy Wells. Stacy is the psychic, and she is a very important part of Robert's book. She's in and out of his book, the whole book. She will be coming on the last half of the show. I want to tell you a little bit more about Robert, about the book, and then I'm going to bring him up and let him tell you everything himself, which is always the very best. Robert talks about five steps to determine what life you plan before you were born. The first step he talks about is working with mediums and channels. The second is hypnotic regression. The third, astrology. The fourth, numerology. And the fifth, which I'm familiar with, meditation. The one thing that I found in his book, I'm looking at it right now and I have so enjoyed it. I'm going to reread it and reread it, is his case studies of different people and taking them back into past lives. It just fascinated me. And after I read it, I thought, I have got to have this author, Robert Schwartz, on my show. So let's bring him up now. And hello, Robert.
Hello.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm well. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to have you. And I was just telling a little bit about you and your book, but I would love for you to do that yourself. Just introduce yourself to the audience.
Well, I'd be happy to. My name is Robert Schwartz, and the book is Your Soul's Plan, Discovering the Real Meaning of the Life You Planned Before You Were Born. We have a website at yoursoulsplan.com where people can download a large excerpt from the book for free. The premise of the book, as you clearly stated, is that we plan our lives before we're born. And what I did in Your Soul's Plan is to focus specifically on the pre-birth planning of different life challenges, because I think so often when something seemingly bad happens to people, there's a tendency to go into victim consciousness, to feel that life or God or the universe is punishing us. And I don't believe that that's the case. I think when challenging things happen to us, very often, not always, but very often, it's because we chose those things before we were born, and we did so for the purpose of spiritual growth. So the way I researched Your Soul's Plan is that I worked with four very gifted mediums and psychics, channels, one of whom is Stacy Wells, who will be with us later. And each of the four that I worked with, in one way or another, has the ability to access information about someone's pre-birth plan. So in Stacy's case, she actually has the ability to both see and hear the conversations we have with each other before we're born. So when we did sessions with Stacy, we would actually go into people's pre-birth planning sessions and eavesdrop, so to speak, on the conversations they were having with their future parents, their future children, their future lovers, employers, peers at school, teachers, enemies, if they were planning to have enemies. And I put these conversations verbatim into Your Soul's Plan. I also worked with Corby Mitlide. Corby has the ability to channel someone's soul, someone's higher self. So when we did sessions with Corby, I would speak to the person's soul directly and ask the soul, did you plan for this person to experience this particular challenge, and if so, why? Worked with a medium in Chicago, Deb Dabari. Deb is very good at talking with the deceased. So if I was talking with someone whose life challenge involved someone who is now back in spirit, very often we would work with Deb. She would call in the deceased loved one, and we would just ask them directly, what did you plan with this person and why? And then the fourth person, who actually has now returned to spirit, a trans channel who lived in Minnesota, Glenna Dietrich. Glenna generally channeled angels, some of whom served as guides to people once they're in body. And so we would ask the angels directly, did this person plan this challenge before birth, and if so, why? And then in the book, I present all the information that came forward to explain why someone would plan a particular challenge prior to birth. So it's essentially an attempt to give meaning to suffering that to a lot of people would appear not to have any meaning.
Well, I would say that would be amazing if we could all read Robert's book, Your Soul's Plan. And Robert, could you give out your website, please?
Yes, it's www.yoursoulsplan.com. And again, you can download a large part of the book for free there. There are excerpts posted, reviews, readers' comments, and so forth.
That's great. And we sent out an excerpt. Robert was kind enough to send us a PDF of some of the, a little bit of the book. And I've had quite a few comments on that. And also, your book, is it available? It is on Amazon.com because it's we have that up on our page. So would it be best if people came to your website to get the book, or do you prefer them to go to Amazon or another?
It really doesn't matter. They can order it on the website, yoursoulsplan.com, or from Amazon or from any bookstore in the country. I do particularly encourage people to ask their local library to order it, because I hear from a lot of people who tell me they would like to read the book but can't afford to purchase it. So if you ask your library to order it, then it's free to you, and when you return it, it's there for someone else who may actually not be able to purchase the book.
There you go. So that's great, because some of us cannot, we don't have the pocketbook to get the whole book, but we could get it from the library. And I wanted to also ask you, Robert, are you doing book signings around the country? Are you touring? Can people find you or go to meet you at certain places, or how is that?
Yes, I travel quite a bit to speak about pre-birth planning, and on the website at yoursoulsplan.com, there's a page titled Speaking Engagements. There's a complete calendar of public appearances posted there.
Great. So you can find out where Robert is going to be, because I know people love to read the book, but they like to meet the author and talk to you, you know, in person, if that's at all possible. And I also I am very, very lucky tonight because we have a co-host, and she is going to be with us. Her name is Rita Graham. And Rita has been our co-host several times, and she's wonderful. She was a protege of the late, great Ray Charles. He recognized that she was a prodigy of music. He produced her first album when she was only 20. She became a Raylette, and she's very, very interested with this subject. And I'm going to go ahead and bring her up. Rita?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, hello. Good, good, good. Thank you. I'm enjoying the conversation. Keep going.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to go ahead and bring you up and let Robert go on and carry on. And Robert, if you had to, there's a lot of people out there that are going, what? I picked my life. I picked all this and all these things that would happen. Why would I do that? And I know that it's hard kind of for some people to kind of get it all at one time. So those out there that are struggling, what would you tell them, Robert?
I think the most important thing here is to listen to your intuition. And I think the concept of intuition is not well understood, particularly in Western society. My understanding of intuition is that the feelings that you get intuitively are communications direct from your soul. And this is a way to bypass the logical mind. You know, the mind was in my opinion, never intended by the soul to be used to manage all aspects of our lives here on Earth. It's very good for certain third-dimensional tasks like repairing an automobile engine or balancing a checkbook, but it's not particularly adept at comprehending higher spiritual truths. So when you're trying to assess whether or not something like pre-birth planning is true, consulting the logical mind, which is really the product of conditioning earlier in life, is not a very helpful way to go. But if you consult your intuition and sense whether or not it feels right to you, that's a much better indicator. Now, that having said that, if the idea of pre-birth planning feels wrong to you, if it doesn't resonate with you, then I think you can and you should set it aside. But if it resonates with you, if it feels right, then it's something to consider, I believe.
Now, whenever you found out this was your calling, I would love to for you to share with the audience. How did you find that out, Robert? How did you realize that you were going to have a very important role in waking people up to the fact that perhaps they did choose their life before they were born? What happened? What was it that came to you?
Well, what happened in my case is that I was actually working in the corporate sector doing corporate marketing and communications work. I have an MBA, a background that's probably atypical for the author of a New Age book. And back in 2003, I had been doing this corporate marketing and communications work for several years and felt deeply, deeply unfulfilled by it. I used to say to people at the time that I had the feeling if I fell off the face of the earth, my clients wouldn't even know that I was gone. They would just plug someone else into my role and carry right along. But, you know, at the same time, I also had the sense that there was a higher calling or a higher purpose to my life. And so I tried different ways to determine what this higher calling might be. None of them were particularly helpful. And so almost out of desperation, really, I decided I would have a session with a psychic medium, which is something that is not part of my background at all and something that I had never done before. But I thought there would be no harm in it. And so on May 7th of 2003, I had my first ever session with a psychic medium, and I remember the date because it was really on that day that my life changed. Now, in this session with the medium, she introduced me to the concept of spirit guides. At that time, I didn't even know what a spirit guide was. And the medium explained to me a guide is a highly evolved, non-physical being with whom we plan our lives prior to birth and who then guides us through our lives after we get here. And through this particular medium, I was able to talk with my guides. They said to me, you planned your life before you were born, including the most difficult challenges that you faced. And I said, well, why in the world did I do that? Well, they explained it. We talked about some of the specific challenges I had faced in life. They knew all about them without me even telling them about these challenges. And then they explained in some cases why I had actually wanted before I was born to have these experiences. Now, in the days and weeks after this session was over, I thought about this information constantly. And the effect that it had on me was that it allowed me to review the course of my life and for the first time in many cases, see a deeper meaning or a deeper purpose to the challenging things that had happened. And for me, this was a deeply healing experience. So I realized I was onto a concept that could bring a similar kind of healing to other people. And it was at that point that I first started to think about writing a book about pre-birth planning.
I see. Well, thank goodness you did, because it came at the right time, and I I feel like the world is ready now to really go into this, because certainly we have all had that deja vu where we recognize somebody or we think, oh, we've done this before. And your book, I think Your Soul's Plan is actually the book that would tell us that, yeah, we did. Some of the cases in there, like the woman that, she was a lab technician, and she opened an envelope, and it had a bomb in it. Could you tell us something about that, Robert?
Yeah, you're thinking of Christina. She wasn't actually a lab technician. She was an administrative assistant at Pomona College in Southern California.
Oh.
And one of her daily duties in that position was to retrieve her employer's mail. Now, the mailboxes were located in the basement of the building in which she worked. So on one particular day, just as she had done many, many times before, mm-hmm. Christina walked down those stairs to the basement mailboxes. But on this particular day, unbeknownst to her, someone had planted a pipe bomb in the mailbox. And when she inserted her hand to retrieve her employer's mail, this pipe bomb detonated. The force of that explosion was so great that it actually picked her up off the ground and hurled her 10 feet backwards against a concrete wall. There were 6-foot splinters of wood that were shot like arrows out of a bow into the wall around her. She lost 2 fingers. Both eardrums were ruptured, and flames from this explosion scorched her body from head to toe. When they took Christina to the hospital, doctors actually had to hold magnets over her eyeballs in order to extract the steel shrapnel from the pipe. So we're talking here about a level of suffering that is almost unimaginable to the average person. Now, Christina's recovery took 2 years and 10 reconstructive surgeries. At one point during that 2-year period, she was lying in her hospital bed in a tremendous amount of pain when she suddenly heard a voice inside her head, a voice that was not her own. It turns out that the force of the explosion, in addition to doing a lot of damage to her body, had opened up her psychic gifts. Christina had become clairaudient. And the voice she heard inside her head that day as she lay in the hospital bed was the voice of one of her spirit guides. And the guide said to Christina, "You planned this." And of course, she asked why. And then her guide told her, and here's what he said. He said, "You wanted, before you were born, to have an incarnation as a gifted healer. And you knew pre-birth that if you could heal yourself from the devastating effects of that bomb explosion, you could then take all of that wisdom and knowledge about healing and turn it outward in service to humanity." And this is, in fact, exactly what happened, because when Christina recovered from the bomb explosion, she went on to get a PhD in speech-language pathology, and she set up a private clinical practice. At this point in her career, she has healed literally thousands of people. She actually has the ability to go into a patient's brain energetically, by which I mean non-invasively, and restore language processing capability in people who have lost that due to stroke or accident. So we're talking about a tremendously gifted healer, and the reason she has these gifts is that she healed herself from the effects of that bomb explosion. So to me, this is one of the most powerful stories of pre-birth planning I've come across. You would think that a bomb explosion would have to be something that would be a punishment, or certainly at a minimum something that no soul would actually want to experience. But here we see that this particular soul wanted to have this experience because she knew that she would have the opportunity to learn certain things about healing, which she could then use in service to others. And this motive of being of service to others is one of the main motivations we saw in the pre-birth planning sessions for the planning of life challenges. Again and again, we heard souls talking about the desire to have certain challenging things happen to them so that they could cultivate certain skills or certain personal qualities and then utilize those in service to others.
That's interesting. So what is it that you do? Are you going to write another book? Are you writing another book? Let's say that the person out there that would like to talk to you wants to know more. How can they find out more from you, Robert?
Well, they can contact me directly at yoursoulsplan@yahoo.com. There's also a contact form on the website at yoursoulsplan.com. And there is a second book in the works, which will be out at most a year from now and possibly sooner. And in that book, it will be very similar to Your Soul's Plan, but It will explore the pre-birth planning of a different set of life challenges, things that were not discussed in the first book.
Okay, because...
The first time I came in contact with the pre-birth plan was in, I can't remember if it was Saved by the Light or Embraced by the Light. Both were accounts of people who had experienced near-death visions. And they were talking about sitting in on witnessing a soul and the master's planning a life. And I think it was Betty Eady's book.
Saved by the Light, I think, Rita. Was that it?
Saved by the Light or Embraced by... Anyway, well, you know, Daniel's book is either Saved by the Light or Embraced
right.
by the... I get them confused. Daniel
right.
Brinkley's book. But anyway, they talked about that that pre-birth planning.
Mm-hmm.
That I know it's true. I know it is. I've seen so many. I've been a lifetime artist, musical artist, and I see so much that I know people have chosen for themselves in this life. And then the reasoning that people have given is that, well, I guess the overarching reason is to become more perfect in God, to learn what to understand the circle of life, and to understand and to actually feel what it's like to actually have these experiences, and to learn how to love ourselves, love each other, and be tolerant, love God.
You were with Ray Charles, and he had a vision problem, so I think that, you know, you must have felt firsthand, because, you know, like Robert was just talking about, the lab... I mean, all of this is planned, and according, right, Robert, we all know, or we find out at some point that we planned our lives.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Ray Charles and blindness, because there's a story in Your Soul's Plan of a gentleman in New York. His name is Bob Feinstein, who was born prematurely, and he was placed in an incubator. And a nurse at the hospital put too much oxygen into the incubator, which damaged the cells in the retinas of his eyes, rendering him blind. And what happened in his particular case, we learned, is that his spirit left the infant body and was taken by his spirit guides back to the pre-birth planning place. And when he gets back there, he has a discussion with them in which they tell him about the accident in the incubator. It turns out that the blindness actually was not part of his pre-birth plan, but they give him the option of accepting the blindness and going back into the infant body, or ending the lifetime and planning a new life with them. And then what ensues is a remarkable discussion in which he asks the guides, well, what are the pros and cons of doing it either way? And they bring in the soul of the woman who had planned to marry him in that lifetime, and they say to her, you know, he's going to be blind if he continues with the life. Do you still want to marry him? And for reasons of her own, she backs out of the agreement to marry him. But he decides to continue with the incarnation anyway. So that was actually the only example we saw of a particular life challenge that was not part of the original pre-birth plan, but he still had the option to accept it or not.
Mm-hmm. I think it's so in keeping with what the Bible speaks of the soul always having a choice. And I think if we look at life in the flat manner that a lot of people look at life, we say, oh, no, we don't really have any choices. But so much of what I've discovered about past lives and pre-birth planning gives us this choice. And it's right there in the Bible. But so many people, I guess, because they aren't in touch with the actuality, or they don't have the experience, they throw it out, or they don't believe it, or maybe they spend a lifetime never really coming in contact with it. But
well, you know, Rita, one of the reasons that we had Robert Schwartz on tonight is so that he can kind of reawaken us to our soul's plan, which is the name of his book, and remind us that we chose our life and our parents and everything that we're experiencing, so that that's a real empowering feeling. But I guess if you're having a very hard life, Robert, that wouldn't be so empowering. You might say, uh-uh, I don't know.
Well, you know, the idea that we plan our challenges prior to birth is not for everyone. And in particular, people who are married to a victim mentality don't like this idea. You know, there are a lot of secondary benefits to being a victim. It can give you a sense of identity. It's a way to get sympathy and attention from other people. It's a way to bond with other people who also view themselves as victims. And when I say all of that, it's not with any judgment. I think you can learn and grow quite a bit by going through those kinds of experiences. But having said that, for people who would like to get out of the victim mindset, the idea that they plan their challenges prior to birth can be extremely empowering.
Absolutely. And, you know, I want to go ahead and take a little break, and we're going to play a song which is sung by Rita Graham. She also wrote the lyrics. It's called Blog Talk Pioneer. It's about the founder of Blog Talk Radio, Robert. And Alan Levy started Blog Talk Radio when his father was dying. He was sitting on his deathbed, and he wanted to share his love for his dad, and that's why you and I are on the air. So I'm going to go ahead and play a little of that, and we're going to come back, and we'll bring up Stacy Wells. Wow, thanks. And we're going to try to end this. It doesn't want to stop, and I don't blame it. That's Rita Graham, Blog Talk. Really? Whoops. Okay, I think we did it. Sorry, Alan, I think it wants to end. So we can bring up Stacy Wells. Hello, Stacy. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, is Stacy?
Yes. It's wonderful to be with you tonight.
Thank you. We're so glad to have you. And, of course, you know Robert Schwartz. And,
hi, Stacy.
Go ahead.
How are you, Stacy?
Hi, Rob. Good to be with you, too, tonight.
You too.
And I would love for one of you, Robert, to explain how, again, I know you said a little bit at the beginning of the show, how Stacy came into your life, how she was part of your book.
Yeah, Stacy has a unique and remarkable ability. As I mentioned, she can both see and hear the conversations we have with each other in our pre-birth planning sessions. And for me, it was just a pleasure and a blessing to be able to work with her and gain the sorts of insights that came up when we listened to these sessions together.
Well, you know, when I was reading your book, I kept seeing her name over and over. And I thought, wow, wouldn't that be great to have her on the show at the same time? I was just blown away, Stacy, by your insight, your ability to really go back and take people back to their past lives.
Thank you, Joy. It's really been a lifelong interest of mine, beginning back when I was 11 and first asked my spirit guide at that time, what are the soul level reasons why people do what they do, why some things happen to some people and not others, and why the same thing could happen to five people and there's five different reactions. And interesting enough, I was born and raised in the entertainment industry and probably knew quite a lot of people that Rita has known at some point in her life. And that industry, I think, is a really unique breeding ground for somebody like me who is observing all the many ways that we humans have our karmic learning experiences.
Interesting. So you and Robert both feel, I mean, you must feel as Robert, that we do pick our lives before we're born, and we pick our parents, and they pick us, which I guess is what brought you together as far as Robert's book, Your Soul's Plan, Discovering the Real Meaning of the Life You Planned Before You Were Born. I felt like, well, Spirit brought them together, and they're together tonight. You really have a lot to say, and I would encourage everyone to get his book, Robert Schwartz's book, Your Soul's Plan. And, Stacy, I noticed you did have his book on your website. Could you give us your website?
Sure. It's actually the same as my name, StacyWells.com, and my name is spelled S-T-A-C-I. W-E-L-L-S.
Okay. And I have been actually taken away with the fact that you are called the psychic, which means that other psychics out there find Stacy to answer their questions, which is quite an honor.
Yes. It is. And the fact that anybody comes to me for insight and awareness and clarity is quite an honor. For the longest time, I practiced my practice as a psychic, as a metaphysician, as a certified hypnotherapist and past life therapist, pretty much in an isolated kind of environment. I live in a very rural area of Arizona and have lived there for 30 years now. And when I met Rob, I had been having the experience for several years of also working on the internet at a few select different websites, and that's where I really started reading the other psychics, and the other psychics started to come to me, and
it was
very interesting to see that happen and to network with people of like mind, but it was also quite an education for me because I really hadn't been exposed to the broad range of different types of psychics and, honestly, different types of scams out there. And so it's really delightful after all these years of doing the kind of readings that most of us go to a psychic for, the sort of readings of when will I find my soulmate or when will I get the perfect job or what's my soul's purpose for this life. Yeah, and that was a lucky question when I would get that because I want to be of service to their highest good and I understand the needs of the moment and the questions that need to be answered in the moment. But I always wanted to give them some insight as to their soul's reasons why this relationship blew up or why they haven't yet found their right career or something like that. And from time to time, I got more and more opportunities to actually disseminate that kind of information and work with people in that kind of way. And that brought me notoriety to another psychic who then met Rob and who recommended me to Rob. And when Rob came to me and we did the first session together, it was for Penelope. It was for Penelope, who is the blind girl. Mm-hmm. No, excuse me.
Deaf girl.
Thank you, Rob. She's deaf, yes. And for me, it was an amazing sort of door-opening experience. Even though I'd been doing these sort of karma sort of readings for people for many years now, I never got the opportunity like this to work with somebody with a specifically challenging life challenge beyond the sort of average mundane kind of thing. This was an extraordinary situation. And I went to bed that night before the day we did the reading, asking my spirit guide, basically coming from the attitude of what could I possibly know about why somebody chose to be deaf
mm-hmm.
for their life experience. And as I went to sleep that night and had my night's sleep, I kept finding myself experiencing a horrendous dream over and over and over again. And in this dream, I was basically seeing through Penelope's eyes in a past life where at the age of 3, she witnessed her mother's boyfriend beat her brutally and then kill her and then kill himself. And
wow.
Rob really does a wonderful job of explaining that story, since most of the time when I do readings, I don't remember much from it. In fact, I had to remember quite a bit by reading the book.
By reading his book, Your Soul's Plan, Robert Schwartz, which, you know, I want to tell everyone out there, if you haven't read it, you might want to pick it up, because it is very, very well written in the fact that anyone can understand it. It's precise. It's to the point. And I found it to be quite fascinating, the stories that Robert put in each of his chapters. I really found that they were exceptional in the way they were written, Robert. They were a very, very, they were clear. Sometimes I pick up a book and I'm going, you know, 2 hours later, what is this? But your book is well written. I've got to tell you, it's good. And where can people find that?
The book is available on my website at yoursoulsplan.com, also from Amazon, and you can order it from any bookstore or library in the country.
Great. And that's Robert Schwartz. And that's S-C-H-W-A-R-T-Z, Your Soul's Plan. Our switchboard is lit up, but we're going to go ahead and do a little more talking now because Robert's not going to be with us much longer. Robert, what would you like to talk about as far as letting people know that there might be a possibility that they really did pick out all the things that are happening to them? Because I think that might be a hard thing for some people to really take on. So how can we kind of put that in a way that the people out there are going to want to know, why would they do that?
Well, we touched on one of the main reasons why people plan challenges for themselves, and that is to be of service to others. And we saw that in Christina's story, where she planned the bomb explosion so that she would heal herself from certain injuries and then be able to go on to be a healer to others. So that's one of four main reasons that we saw for the pre-birth planning of life challenges. Second main reason we saw is balancing karma. And let me just give your listeners a simple example. Let's say the two people had a past life together in which one was physically ill and the other person was that person's caretaker. When those two people transition back into spirit at the end of that lifetime and have their life review, as we all do, they tend to have a sense of unbalanced energy around that kind of relationship, and they are motivated to balance it. So the simplest, easiest, most direct way to do that is simply to switch roles. The one who was the caretaker then plans the life challenge of physical illness. The one who was ill then plans the life challenge of caretaking. That allows them to balance the experience and develop compassion and empathy for what the other person went through. So balancing karma would be the second main reason. Third main reason for planning life challenges is healing. And Stacy brought up Penelope's story. This is a classic example of someone who planned a life challenge deafness for the purpose of healing. And Stacy talked about how she saw the mother's boyfriend. This was in the lifetime immediately previous to this one. Penelope had the same mother she has in this lifetime. And when she was a young child, Penelope's mother was murdered by the mother's boyfriend. Now, in that past life, when the murder took place, it was but through the use of a gun, and Penelope didn't actually see the murder, but she was within hearing range, and she heard the gunshots that led to her mother's death. Now, she was quite traumatized by that, and in fact, it actually led her to commit suicide in that past life. So when she transitioned back into spirit, she took with her what you might call an energy of unresolved trauma, which now needs to be carried forward for healing into the next lifetime. So in the pre-birth planning session that Stacy heard, we actually hear the spirit guide, her spirit guide, say to her, "My dear, would you prefer to be born deaf so that no similar trauma will happen to you again and so that you can complete your healing from the past lifetime?" And Penelope says, "Yes, that is what I want and what I wish to do." So she chooses the deafness as a way to protect herself in this life so that nothing similar happens again and so that she can complete her healing from the past life. So that's the third reason we saw is healing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth reason, and this is really the big one to my way of thinking, is a desire to experience contrast. And what I mean is this. The non-physical realm that we come from, as I understand it, is very much as it's classically portrayed, which is to say it's a realm of great peace and joy and love and light. Now, I believe that we as souls are love. This is our nature. It's the energy that we are made from, literally made from the energy of love. So if we are love and we are in a realm in which there is only love, that means that we experience no contrast to ourselves, which in turn means that the soul doesn't fully understand or fully appreciate what it means to be a being made from the energy of unconditional love. And so I believe that we come here to this realm of duality, a realm of up and down, left and right, hot and cold, good and bad, love and not love, because here there's a lot of contrast to love, and it's the experience of the contrast that helps us to understand who we really are, beings made from the energy of love.
I see. Makes great sense to me, and I think a lot of people out there that are going, why would I choose this hard life? Let's say they've had a really hard life, and they can kind of step back and look at it and go, oh, okay. So, and actually, Robert, this life is so short. So in the next life, what are we going to expect of whatever we choose? It's
very much up to you. There is no one telling you you must do this or you must do that. But I will say that when we get back into spirit, on the soul level, we make choices that are very hard to understand from the level of the personality while we're in body. Christina being blown up in the bomb explosion is a good example of that. You would be unlikely to choose an experience like that looking at it from the level of the personality. But the soul level perspective is very different from the personality perspective in several key ways, one of which you just mentioned, and that is that a lifetime is actually very, very short from the perspective of the soul. You know, to the soul, a lifetime is as brief as a clap of thunder. It's here and then it's gone. When we're in body, it doesn't seem that way, particularly if we're suffering. It may seem like it goes on forever, but from the soul perspective, it's very brief. Also, the soul is acutely aware of the fact that no one is permanently harmed by anything that happens here. Now, we lose sight of that from the level of the personality. But your soul knows that no one is permanently damaged by any of the challenges we experience here. And the other key difference, the third key difference between the soul and the human perspective, is that the soul is much more aware of the fact that the learning that occurs here becomes part of the soul literally for all eternity. So if you look at it that way, that from the soul perspective, a lifetime is very, very brief, that no one is permanently harmed by anything that happens here, and the wisdom we acquire becomes part of the soul for all eternity. From that perspective, it actually does make a lot of sense that a soul would take on a very great challenge.
Yeah, and
in my opinion, I feel that the soul, and I totally agree, I feel that the soul is constantly seeking evolvement, and that this, in order to evolve in this upward spiral, this loving upward spiral, it's necessary, the soul will choose these things to experience these things, like you said, for contrast, to become, maybe eventually we won't need these bodies. They say, I've heard metaphysicians say that we'll become a being of light. We won't need to come back to this, this it's sort of human embodiment.
Uh-huh.
Once the soul has reached the state of pure love, I've seen that light. I had a dream one time, and I say this in my novel, Karma Rising, which is a suspense novel, by the way, but I get a chance to talk about past lives, and I saw this amazing light that was so loving and so full and so complete and so beyond description. I couldn't even talk about it. I can't, you know, when I talk about it, it doesn't make any sense. And I was trying to explain to my mother, who was almost 99, and my mother said, "Well, Rita, have you lost your mind?" Because I never could really completely sense it, but I remember that in Dr. King's last speech before he, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., before he was assassinated the next day, he said, "I've been to the mountaintop, I've looked over, and I've seen the other side, and tonight I'm not fearing any man, for mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." And I think what he saw was this marvelous, loving light, and possibly for a soul like his, he had evolved to the place where maybe he doesn't have to do this again. Or do you think that souls just go on, Robert? Or do you think that that eventually we don't have to do this human experience again?
I think that is true, Rita. I think we get to a point where we've experienced everything that we want to experience or can experience on the physical plane, and we go on to the so-called higher dimensions. And I don't know what happens in those higher dimensions. That's not the focus of my research. But I do believe that the cycle of lifetimes on the physical plane does come to an end at some point.
Yeah. You know, Rita, I'd like you to mention just a moment about your book. Rita has a book coming out called Karma Rising, and that's going to be released in November. Is that right, Rita?
It's a suspense novel about past lives, but they search for the killer through past lives. That's the name. But don't forget to mention your book, Judy Joy Traveled with Mother Teresa and her nuns in the United States, which I think is one of the most incredible experiences that anyone can have, and she wrote about it, sleeping in terrible places and seeing the passing on of souls who are in great pain and great distress. It's a tremendous, tremendous book. I've read excerpts from it, and so I'd like to say something about your book as well, Judy Joy Jones.
Thank you, Rita Graham. We are co-hosts together.
You got to hear the title, When a Saint Calls Surrender, and the title of my book, Mother Teresa, When a Saint Calls Surrender, and my book is a suspense novel called Karma Rising.
Karma Rising. And, you know, Robert, when I told Rita that you were going to be on the show, she just came unglued because she said, "I've got to be on this show." And I knew that y'all were meant to meet each other because you have a lot in common. And Rita would be right there with you that we chose our past lives, and we also chose our parents, and they chose us. And I wonder about that, Robert. If we chose our parents, we picked them out because they would give us the lessons and the things that we needed to learn this life, or?
That's true, but my understanding is that it's more so that the children are giving the lessons to the parents. Generally, the children are the parents' teachers, as it's set up in the pre-birth planning. Yeah.
Yeah. Because my most difficult child said to me when she was three, I said, "Oh, you're just the best, marvelous, most wonderful child." And she said, "I was your grandmother for 1,000 years."
No way.
She said,
and quite often, our relationship with our parents is meant to provide us with contrast, to remind us what of our karmic lessons that we have and that they also have, what are they setting an example for us of how not to behave, how we don't want to behave when it comes to that particular karmic lesson. Plus, I think many times our parents remind our consciousness of certain things that we've brought with us into this life and need to have it brought into our consciousness to experience it again. I know for me, it was the fact that my father was a musician. I've had past lives where I've explored and strengthened my musical abilities, and being born to a man who, as soon as he got me home from the hospital, put me in the crib and played his trombone over the crib.
Oh, he was
certainly
a trombone player. Who did he play
yes,
with?
Yes, he was. Pardon
who
me?
Did he play with? Who did he play
oh,
with?
Oh, my gosh. Who didn't he play with? Stan Kenton, Marimba. We could go on, honey.
Because I was the Harry James vocalist right after I left Ray Charles.
He was with Harry James.
Well, I was the Harry James vocalist in 71, 72. Harry didn't die until, the late 70s. But
right, yeah. And my father was with Harry James back in the 40s and 50s.
Wow. So you're meant tonight. You guys are, this is all meant to be, It was like.
Isn't it something?
Amazing. I often think that if I can just get out of the way and let everything come through us, that we're going to be fine. But when I start trying to figure it out, I can't.
You couldn't have planned this one better.
When I saw Robert's book, Your Soul's Plan, discovering the real meaning of the life you planned before you were born, I thought, I have heard this over and over. Okay, let's get it on. I'm going to go ahead and deal with this right now. I picked my parents. Okay, Robert, let's go for it. let's find out why. And I'm sure a lot of people out there. In fact, we have a whole board. Now, Robert, before you take off, would you like to take one call?
Absolutely.
All right. So I'm going to pick 732, who has patiently been here from the very beginning. Hello? 732, are you there? Maybe they're taking a break. Hello? Okay. Let's try 303. Hello? 303. Well, Robert, you may not have any. You're all here, but they probably figured I wasn't coming on ever. Hello?
Remind our listeners to dial 1 before they start speaking.
Yeah, that's a good idea. 770-713. Hello? Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Judy.
Hi, do you have a question? Who is this?
This is Elizabeth, your friend.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am fantastic, enjoying the show as always.
Well, would you like to ask Robert or Stacy a question?
Yes, definitely. The path that I chose, can you tell me? It's like, the people that I meet all kinds of people, and it's like they draw to me, no matter if I'm in Paris or in Vegas or wherever I am. And I just want to see, do you see anything, Stacy?
Well, I would say that you do have a special gift and a special light. And sometimes that gift, Elizabeth, is just your time, your presence, your listening ear, your compassion.
Mm-hmm.
You've reached a point in your soul's evolution where your soul's desire is so strong to experience unconditional love in all its forms. And people at a non-conscious level, they get this from you. They feel it from you, and you've got light glowing inside, and they want a part of that. They want some of that for themselves. And this gift that you have is your presence. When you hold somebody's hands and really look them in the eye and really connect with them, oh, my gosh, it's almost like you're bringing them to their own self, to their spirit again, and you lift their spirits by doing so.
Wow. Excellent. Great. Can you see anyone like from my, around me? I don't know.
Oh, right away I'm hearing grandmother.
Really?
Right away I'm hearing grandmother. Did she have the same name as you?
No, Rose.
Rose.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That, yes, that raised me, yes.
Yeah, and there's somebody that is around you that says this doesn't make sense to me, but I'll say it anyway. She holds a candle for patience as if she's somebody who, I think this is still your grandmother. Like, my impression is she stays by your bedside, and in those moments when you're feeling low or you feel like you're not reaching a certain goal, she's there to be that soft hand on your shoulder and telling you, patience, all things will come.
Wow.
So that really fits. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you so much. Yes. Thank you so much. And I'm going to get your book, Robert.
His book is called Your Soul's Plan, Discovering the Real Meaning of the Life You Planned Before You Were Born. And, Robert, will you give out your website?
Yes, it's www.yoursoulsplan.com. And your listeners can download a large part of the book for free on the first page of that website.
Wow. Now, that is our friend, you know, to let you do it for free. So I want to tell everyone, go ahead and go to the website. And, Robert, thank you so much for being with us tonight. Robert Schwartz, his book, Your Soul's Plan, Discovering the Real Meaning of the Life You Planned Before You Were Born. I cannot tell you how much remembering means to everyone out there. Oftentimes, I think we want to, but we don't want to, Robert. But you kind of pricked where we can do it or not. It's up to us, right?
That's absolutely right. And thank you for having me on the show. It's been my pleasure.
Absolutely. And I hope you are able to come back on anytime you want. And we will go ahead and continue with Stacy Wells and our really great co-host, Rita Graham. So, Robert, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I enjoyed it immensely.
Bye-bye, Robert.
So we're going to continue. We have a switchboard that is really lit up, and I'm going to play one more song before we do the next part of
our show.
That
blog talk sounds so distorted on my phone.
No, it didn't sound right. I think we're going to play it.
Everybody knows I sing better than that. Go to my website, readagramsing.com. There's some samples on there the way I
know. Yeah, readagram.com. And, you know, we're going to play a little bit of...
RitaGrahamSings.com, Joy.
RitaGrahamSings.com. And we have her website on our show's page tonight. You can go down there and find it. Also, her book, Karma Rising. Rita, that book is going to get out in the world when?
I hope so. November, late September, early November. I've got to get in touch with Stacy. I'm going to get in touch with you on your website because I've just got so much to
get with her about.
Oh, marvelous. We'll have a lot of fun.
All right. So we're going to listen to Cello and by Rebecca Rodman. She is a member of two San Francisco Bay Area symphonies. Cello. That was a piece by Rebecca Rodman Cello, and she is a member of Two Bay Area Symphonies. She was our guest, and we thank you, Rebecca Rodman. Tonight, we were very, very honored to have a guest. His name was Robert Schwartz. He is the author of Your Soul's Plan, Discovering the Real Meaning of the Life You Planned Before You Were Born. And if you will go to our show page tonight, you can find his website, which is www.yoursoulsplan.com. Robert Schwartz, I cannot recommend his book more. It's all about the fact that we picked our lives. Before we were born, we picked our parents, and they picked us. Now, whether or not you believe that, I don't know. But if you read Robert's book, you're going to really stop and think, because it makes sense. That's why I had him on the show tonight. We are welcoming back Stacy Wells, who is considered in the world the psychic psychic. Stacy is an integral part of Robert Schwartz's book. And we're going to have her tell us a little bit about why she got involved with Robert, why she got involved with his book, and also our co-host, Rita Graham. Rita was a protege of the Ray Charles, great Ray Charles, and also she is about to come out with her first book called Karma Rising. So I'm going to go ahead and say, hello, Stacy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome back.
Thank you, and it's still wonderful to be with you tonight.
Thank you so much. We have a board that is lit up like a Christmas tree, but first I want you to go ahead and tell us about yourself, Stacy. Go ahead and you know, introduce yourself.
Thank you. I'm glad to have this opportunity to do that. So many of your listeners have heard about the book. Some of them hopefully have read the book, and they've read the work that I've done for the book, but what they may not be aware of is that each of the readings I did for each chapter in the book were my complete and total pre-birth planning reading, which is usually a 3 to 3.5 hour reading in which I go extensively into a discussion of the person's karmic lessons that their soul chose for this lifetime, why, where they're at in their soul's path of working on these karmic lessons, what aspects of personality their soul has built for this lifetime, because a very large concept for many people to wrap their brains around is that who we are here right now today, who I am sitting in this chair talking with you, is the personality, and the personality is created by the soul. The soul creates a personality for every life, and this is some of the information that has come to me in the process of the last 44 years in working with my spirit guide in finding out the answer to this question I keep asking him. What are the soul level reasons why we do what we do, why certain things happen to some of us and though they don't happen to others, why some people are lucky, for example, and why some others aren't, and why the same thing can happen to 5 different people and get 5 different results, 5 different reactions, 5 different coping mechanisms. It's really been a lifelong fascination for me. And even though I was born psychic and able to see and hear spirit and see auras and communicate telepathically with animals and even astral project consciously without even realizing what I was doing, when I was 11, my brother handed me a book. It was The Third Eye by Lobsang Rompa, and it was about a Tibetan Buddhist who described his life. And so much of what I read in that book were things that I remembered doing, places I remembered being in other lifetimes, places that I'd been to astrally. So I began to read about it and learn that there was somebody else out there who was like me.
That's
and could
amazing.
Do all these things. So then when I was about 21, I woke up one morning and my spirit guide was standing at the foot of my bed. And while he's kind of always around to one extent or another, this was a vision. He was standing at the foot of my bed as high as the ceiling, floor to ceiling, resplendent in his white gown, his long white hair, his long white beard, holding the book that he always holds in his arm, the Book of Lives, which I believe is the Akashic Record. And he, and my eyes sort of cleared, and he looked at me, and he said, "Well, are you ready to do the work?" And at that moment, I surrendered to it. Because we may think that we want to be one thing. I thought I wanted to be a big singer-actress.
Right.
But life and my pre-birth planning took me somewhere else. Fortunately, I still get time to do some of that, but it's, you might not say it's a vocation anymore.
Oh,
it's more like
saying.
A hobby.
You
yes.
still sing. That's great. I sing with a couple of big bands here and a couple of blues band. I'm one of those singers. I'll sing anything. Doesn't matter. But
I hear that.
Let me ask you, Stacey. I know they've got a lot of people waiting. She's got a lot of people waiting. But I've had this tremendous challenge with my husband, who before he died, he was a quadriplegic for 2 years, and from a freak accident. And he's an extraordinary human being. And I'm just wondering, I know we chose that, and I would say to him every time I would go to talk to him, because I had a past life experience. I saw myself in a life in Manila, and I kept telling him, I believe that you're going to be a holy man the next time, because he was so wonderful. And I'm just wondering if you see anything, because I've been doing this for a lot of years, and I'm just curious if anything resonated with you, with me.
You mean, do I feel like what you're saying is true?
Or if, I just wondered if there was, you had any psychic impressions, because I'm alone for the, not really alone because I have children and, you know, my mom and all, but I was just wondering if you had any psychic impressions.
Oh, I can get lots and lots of impressions, which is why I like to work with specifics. Otherwise, I'm going to cast a really wide net. So when you're asking me, what do I see? What are you really asking me, Rita? What are you really asking me about?
I don't know. You know, I hate to waste time, you know, spend this time, because I can get in touch with you privately. But, my career. What do you think about my career? Do you sense anything with my career?
Well, the first thing I get is Spirit keeps saying 3 years, 3 years, and then big time. Three years, big time. So it may feel like right now things are upside down, but next year is going to improve, and the year after that's going to be big. Your career is going to be highly energized. Of course, I hear travel. That may not be so unusual in the life of a musician, but I'm hearing travel, and I think I'm hearing Germany.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time in Germany already, and I loved it. Yeah, that's
great. And you're going to Europe next year in March, right?
I'm going to the UK in March. Yeah.
So there
great.
You go.
Thank you, Stacey.
Thanks, Stacey. And I want to go ahead and bring up 858. Hello.
Hello, I'm here. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Sure.
Hello.
Hello.
Tell me your first name, please.
My first name is Oksana.
Oksana, wonderful
yes.
to have you here.
Thank you. I have a question. What do you see from my future in my personal life, like love relationship? Will I be remarried again? And maybe part of this question, I'm interested in a gentleman that I met about 1 or 2 months ago. He's in the medical profession. So I'm not sure if there will be any romantic development or not.
All right. I'm happy to look at that for you. I do like to work with first names and birth dates whenever possible. would you please give me just your month and day of birth? You don't have to tell everybody how old you are.
May 31st.
And this man that you are interested in, what is his first name?
Gary.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to be quiet for a few moments. I'm sorry to have to give you that horrible thing known as dead air space.
No,
be quiet for a moment.
That's fine, not a problem.
Gary is not a long-term kind of an association for you. He's not looking for anything serious with you, and it's more of a just right now it seems to be a nice friendship. There's a little bit of interest, but I don't see it ever being anything more than a friendship, and I think he's going to move on romantically fairly soon. And now let me focus on the first question you had, which really was about your love life. When do we see the next significant life-affecting relationship happening?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. My sense is that you have two, possibly three small-time, short-term relationships before the Mr. Significant relationship in about 6 to 7 years from now.
Oh. A long time.
Patient.
Yes, but you're not going to be lonely.
Yeah, she won't.
There'll be some companionship here and there along the way.
A few people. Yeah, well, thank you so much. We appreciate your call. And I wanted to ask you, Stacy, did you want to keep this on past life or general?
I can take any question.
Oh, okay. Well, we have another question. We're going to go to 780. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for calling in tonight. How can I help you? What's your question?
Hmm.
Hello,
well,
do you have a question for me?
780?
Hello?
Hi, are you there? 780 area code?
Oh, yes.
Okay, you're on the air live with Stacy.
Oh, my God. Okay, thank you.
Hi.
That was me, area code, okay.
Sure.
What's your first name?
My name is Hazel. I'm from Canada.
Hi, Hazel.
Thank you, Stacy, for taking my call and Joy.
My pleasure.
Sure.
I'd like to know a little bit in my future of if I'm on the right track with what I'm doing.
Yeah, are we talking about career, Hazel?
Pardon me?
We're talking about career?
Well, if I'm going to be guided to what my life purpose is.
Oh.
Ah. Tell me what your birth date is, Hazel.
December 3rd, 1959.
Thank you. Wow. Do you work with people?
Yeah.
Because
I don't think I'm working with them to the extent I'm been told that I'm supposed to be so far.
Well, I like to stay away from that word supposed to, because no matter what you're doing, you're still getting your soul's desired experience by working cooperatively with others in some way, by giving them your unconditional love and receiving theirs. And you do a lot of talking, and while you're talking, you can be counseling and teaching. And this is life experience that's very important for you, because I have this sense, Hazel, you're going to be writing.
Oh.
the hardest problem you're going to have is sticking to it, actually staying in the chair, focused, and writing. You might actually want to start dictating when you walk.
Okay.
Because that will work off some of that energy.
I just bought a machine to do that with.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And really, you are at the very edge of the precipice to the phase of your life where my sense is that your soul planned to have a greater experience in a greater sense of self-expression. But, you know, that really comes from confidence, and it comes from knowing your truth. And to be guided to what your purpose is to figure out what you're passionate about, what so fulfills you, what are you so passionate about that you would do for free if you could, if you didn't have to earn a living. And quite often, that'll be your answer. And then sometimes it's a little bit of a stretch to try to figure out how we make a living at it, but it can be done.
Right.
Okay. Is my?
I'm also hearing the word blogs, as like you could write in a short few sentences or a few paragraphs, and write in a blog sort of style.
Oh.
That would be really good to get your juices flowing.
Okay. Just one. Do you know what my spirit guide's name is?
Well, I laugh because my spirit guide refuses to give me a name for him. He's had so many that he says it doesn't matter. But I get a very foreign sounding name. I get the sense of it being male.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, okay, now I understand it. It's Ramadan. Ramadan. It's not Ramadan, it's Ramadan. And it does seem like he is East Indian. I see him dressed in white. I see him sitting cross-legged in the meditation position. He says, all her life, he's been with you all your life. But there are three other spirit guides around you as well that come and go according to certain lessons you're working on. And believe me, self-esteem, self-confidence, self-expression is a huge karmic lesson for you.
Huge. Yeah.
Thank you.
I have a birthmark on my nose?
Yes.
Yeah.
To give you a focal point, something that you could use to either hate yourself or learn to love yourself.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure there's a past life connection to it, too, but it's not coming to me right now, and I know we need to move on to the next call.
Yeah, we have a few callers, but thank you so much.
Thank you so much, you guys. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. And now we're going to go to 541. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
You're on the air with Stacey Wells.
Hi, what's your name?
Selena.
Thank you, Selena. And your birth date?
12/27/63.
Thank you. Now, what would you like to ask me?
I seem to have an overlay of two past lives. One's in ancient Egypt as a priestess, and the other is a Templar priest in France, in medieval France.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be karmically affecting me in this life, and I'm trying to understand things more. I have a lot of understanding, but I need more of, I guess I'd like to get your insight, if you get anything.
Well, yeah, I think you need more than 2 or 3 minutes on internet radio.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. So you're not the first person I've come across who has had lives in both places, and it's definitely affecting them in their present life. I'm tending to think that there is a group of Templars who have reincarnated in this life now and are alive presently and are working out some things.
Uh-huh.
so much of your soul's plan for this life was for you to learn to connect with spirit and source within yourself instead of through the ritual and dogma that have been so attractive to this soul in other lifetimes. Mm. It has witnessed so much, and its desire to be of service for the highest good of others has now come down to this lifetime where it's figuring out what you have in your consciousness, what awareness and knowledge you have from other lives, from the time in between lives that you've reminded your consciousness of in this life, what skills you've learned in this life, or maybe like me, have brought with you into this life from other times, other lives, and then to figure out how best to utilize what you've got, the onboard tools, I like to call it, in service to others. But you've got a very strong streak of self-perfection, karma, which can really highly energize, in fact, over-energize your nervous system. And I have this sense that you have been working, at some point you devoted some time to working on either chakras or kundalini.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it sort of like blew your mind open and brought in some of the memories that I might refer to as bleed-through memories from other lives. I also get this sense that there is this continuing drive on your soul's part towards becoming embodied in life and learning to value the self as much as it values others. All in balance, of course, but learning to value the self because it is your connection to your inner being that makes you in connection with the oneness with all that is. And when you can be strong within your connection to yourself and sure of your truth, then you can be that radiating light, that beacon, that guide to the world that I know you want to be.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
It does. I also feel, though, I have karma, really, negative karma. And it just seems to be, like, in my face all the time, and I want it gone.
Yeah, I don't really subscribe to the notion of negative karma. Since we create our reality, I would say that that's only your manifestation pointing you back to yourself to do some work inside. There may be some, and what I'm hearing is the word expectations that you have. What I'm hearing, honestly, is expectations that you have and the groundwork hasn't been fully matured yet. You've laid the groundwork. It hasn't matured. It's sort of like sowing the seeds in your garden and waiting for them not just to blossom but to bear fruit.
And I want to tell you that you can get a hold of Stacy Wells by going to her website. Stacy, what is your website?
www.stacywells.com, and that's StaciWells.com.
And, you know, whenever you want to ask more in-depth questions, because, you know, this is a talk show, we can only answer a few ones, but we would love to answer as many as we can, but you can go to Stacy Wells' website and ask her more in-depth questions. We're going to bring up caller 727. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? You're on the air with Stacy Wells.
Hi, my name is Lisa, and my birthday is July 17th.
Thank you, Lisa. How can I help you?
I want to know what you see coming up for my finances.
All right. Well, it's tight this year. It's really, really tight.
Hmm.
I feel a shift coming for next year, but not until about March, when something new comes in. And I feel like maybe it's new money from a new job.
Okay.
A new source of revenue is what I'm hearing.
Okay.
But until then, it's like, hang on, hang tight, and just go with it, because you've really got to watch your pennies right now. You've got to really, there will even be times when you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, if you're familiar with that expression.
Yeah, I know that expression.
I don't see bankruptcy, and I don't see you going to jail, but I do see about a lightening up about 3 to 4 months from now, and then March of next year with a big bang. And I feel like by then the worst is over for you financially.
Okay.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay. So we're going to go to 650. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My name is Jessica, and my birthday is August 30th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and
Jessica.
My question is, I'm just looking for a job, and I'm having, you know, my intuition doesn't seem as strong right now, so I'm just looking for some direction.
Hmm. Huh. Well, the first thing Spirit wants me to say to you is, let me tell you that any job you find this year is not going to be something that's permanent. It's only short time for the interim. It's the in-between sort of thing. It's going to change. Just like you are in the process of evolving, so is your career path. I kind of want to give you a sense of what you might be best suited for.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
Can you tell me what year you were born?
86.
It may not look so good to you now, but next year and 3 years from now, I see you doing very well in something connected with real estate. If you wanted to get a real estate license, this might be the time to do it while you're having a job doing something else, and then go get your license, go study and get your license. I see money there. I see lots of socializing. Lots of friends, lots of friendships. I think I might even see love.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And I feel like it's just about anything you do with houses is going to be worthwhile for you, but I really feel the real estate thing is it.
Even with the market being a little shaky?
Well, that's why I'm not saying get into it this year.
Okay.
This is the time to study, get what you need to do to get your certificate.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, and I want to tell everyone that we are talking to Stacy Wells. She is considered the psychic. Other psychics around the world come to you, Stacy, for their problems, and that is quite an honor. How did that happen?
Well, you know, I've been doing this professionally for 30 years. Fortunately, mm-hmm. I was raised in the Southern California entertainment business, which is very accepting of those who are a little bit different, like me. So even with my family's friends, I started doing this. And then in my own youth, I started doing this. At some point, I actually said to my spirit guides, what do I do? Do I go into psychology, or do I stay focused in this direction? And I was told to stay focused in this direction. And little by little, through what I've learned along the way,
right,
from life and books and my own university, for some reason, I seem to be able to get to the heart of the matter very quickly and faster than a lot of my clients' therapists. And so the word just gets around after, you know, so many years. And then when I started working online in the internet in the late 90s, I started being exposed to a lot more psychics that way, and even psychics need readings now and then. And so who else are they going to go to but somebody who's got a lot of good ratings at the site that they're also on. So that's kind of how it happens. And those who are ethical never hesitate to recommend another psychic who might have expertise in an area that they do not. And I,
sure.
I've had a lot of recommendations like that. And in fact,
you know, Robert Schwartz, you're in his book, Your Soul's Plan. You're in the book on nearly every page, and that's how I found out about Stacy Wells. And I thought to myself, well, you know, this book is so good. If he really felt like she was able to bring in the past lives and all the things that he really felt you were able to bring in, I thought, why not have her on the show with Robert, who had to leave after about an hour. But Stacy, I want to tell you that we're our board. Let me bring up one more person here.
Okay. I would love to give you a little bit more information about that Penelope.
I wish you would. Go ahead, right ahead.
The case with the girl who is deaf. For every case study, I did two of my pre-birth planning readings, two of these 3 to 3.5 hour readings. And at the end of the first one, which was between Penelope and Rob and myself, and we did it over an internet text messaging sort of service because she couldn't talk on the phone, she couldn't hear. But at the end of it, after I had said to Robert, when I saw Penelope in her pre-birth planning session, I saw her take on what my spirit guide calls the cloak of the personality. The light body takes on a sort of a cloth that it sort of drapes over itself. It's not really a cloth, but it kind of looks like that. Mm-hmm. And it then has an image that is of itself in the life that it's planning, usually at an adult age. And I saw this happen in seeing Penelope's pre-birth planning reading, and I saw her take on a dark cloak of the personality.
Mm.
And I didn't really think anything more about it at that time, but when we were through with the reading, Rob said to me, Stacy, that was really good, and by the way, Penelope is black.
Oh.
I didn't know, but I saw her in that pre-birth planning session where she was planning this life take on the cloak of her personality, and that's really the image of herself as an adult, and it was black.
That is amazing. You know, you must sit there and go, why am I able to see all this, right, Stacy? Sometimes
No, I don't. I really don't. I didn't realize until the book was published that no one else did this stuff. This is
weird.
Simply where I've lived my life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hear that. We have a 770. Hello? Hi. Are you there? 770? Hello?
Press 1 so we can hear you.
Hello, 770-713. No? Yes? Goodbye. All right. No, I guess not. But let's go to 541. Hello?
Hi, Judy. That's me again.
Hi, you're still there.
Hi. Yes.
Yeah, all right. Let's see here. Let's go to 541. Hello? Well, okay. I'm not sure, but our board shows these people want to talk to you, and they're not coming up, but that's all right. We're going to go ahead and go on. And I would like to tell everyone that tonight we had Robert Schwartz, the author of Your Soul's Plan, Discovering the Real Meaning of the Life You Planned Before You Were Born. And you can find out all about Robert on our page where we have the show tonight. You can find out how to get his book. You can also just click on Amazon.com. The book is scrolling by. You can buy it right then. And we are lucky enough to have Stacy Wells, who is a psychic who is involved in every aspect of Robert's book, almost, and she is also considered the psychic psychic. And so we're really, really honored to have Stacy. And so far we've had a lot of callers, and I want to tell everyone that if you want to call in, if you could just kind of give us a brief summary of what you want to talk about. Mainly, I think, Stacy, you want to talk about past lives?
We can talk about past lives. We can talk about soul purpose. We can talk about anything and everything. I'm pretty open to anything.
Absolutely. I love that. And so anybody out there, you want to call in, go ahead and call in. Stacy, when you were a child, you know, a little girl, and you had this ability, or you thought you might have, what was, you know, it like? What did you do? Your parents probably thought, oh, no, what is she talking about?
My mother had some natural intuitive ability herself. She had hunches. She knew who was calling when the phone would ring. She would even wake up in the morning and tell you who was going to call that day. She had some other hunches, but never really had developed or as much of this. But because she was naturally that way herself, she was very understanding of me and accepted me. My father, being a musician, was out working and on the road quite a lot, so he wasn't around experiencing it directly much of the time.
Absolutely. So you were kind of just there, and whenever you went to your mom, if you saw past life, did you talk to her about it and say, Mom, you know, I picked you in another life, you picked me? I mean, really, did you talk to your mom?
That really wasn't in my consciousness
okay.
at that point. I was still having the experience that was teaching me to let go of anger and embrace compassion. And I think that that is really what we're all aiming for, to learn to let go of fear, to love unconditionally, and then the next step is be of compassion. And
you know, that's what Rita talks all the time.
Yes.
You know, she's always talking to me in emails, Rita Graham, about what it's like to let go of a judgment and kind of just let it go, let it go, let it go. And I think that is the whole secret, folks, that if you're not really thinking about it, that basically that what they're saying tonight is that we chose our parents before we were born. They chose us. We chose our last life, and we chose this life. And that may be hard to stomach, but I think really, if you look into it a little bit closely, that it might feel, it might look right. I mean, it's not like you have to go, oh, well, I chose all this hard stuff, but you chose the good things as well, right, Stacy?
Yes, and even the hard things, there is a purpose to it. One of the great things, and I think Rita might have mentioned this earlier in the show, one of the major challenges that we have for ourselves as souls as we go through the human evolutionary path is to learn to be flexible. And I'm not talking about just in our muscles. It's really about being flexible emotionally. And when we're rigid, that's when we're dealing with anger and control and fear issues. But when we're flexible, we can be centered in who we are, in the knowledge of who we are and what our truth is, and be there for others who may need us at that time when they're not feeling centered. And that way we are able to be of compassionate service to them.
You know, I think that's the secret, service to others, because oftentimes we're so involved in our own stuff that we forget the reason we're here is really to be of service to others. And evolution requires that we all help each other as we go along the path. And stay.
Well, the bottom reason for that, excuse me for jumping in, but I got to say it while it's on, you know, while it's on my mind, because, you know, my mind just splits around all the time. It's service is not just service to others. We're really serving ourselves. That which I give away. I know that everything I do, because karma is as it is my own. And because we're connected, everything that I do for someone else, I'm doing for myself.
Yes, that truly is the oneness.
Right, and having all these kids that I've got, because I'm co-raising my fifth one right now, I recognize that they're out there in the world someplace. And one of my greatest prayers is that someone will be there to help them in the middle of the night as people have been there for me. And so it's incumbent upon me to always send that out, because I know that's coming back in all forms, in unexpected forms.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And, you know, we have a My Stick PM. Let me bring, hello. Hi. Are you there, My Stick PM?
Hello.
Hello.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, hi. Just a moment. Let me bring you back. Are you there? We're going to bring... Hello? Hi. No.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're trying. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised I didn't know that you were picking my line. I was just calling.
For some reason, we're broken up. Can you call back on another phone?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
No problem. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right. Even with technology, we're a little limited sometimes.
Sure,
I don't know why. But
you're operating under Mercury retrograde when anything that can go wrong with communications will go wrong.
I think you're right. You know, when I realized you were going to be on the show tonight, I thought to myself, there is a reason. There's people out there that need to talk to you, that need to find out things. And I kind of got out of the way, and I said to myself, Stacy is going to be on because she needs to be on, and that's the way it is. And that's kind of how I look at things, because we're all instruments. I feel like we're all just pencils. We're all letting everything come through us, and... So I felt like when I met Robert, Your Soul's Plan, he's the author of Your Soul's Plan, Discovering the Real Meaning of the Life You Planned Before You Were Born. And you can get his book by going to Judy Joy Jones Show page, and you're going to see his book right there, Amazon.com, Your Soul's Plan. Robert has a lot to say, and it's time for him to say it. And, Stacy, you were an integral part of the book. You're on many pages of Robert's book. So I want you to tell us a little bit about his book and what you think that the people out there can gain by buying his book, reading it.
Oh, my goodness. The one thing I hear over and over again from people who contact me after they've read the book is how it's changed their viewpoint on their life. Their viewpoint changes from one of victimhood to something more empowering when they see things from a different perspective and they think about, well, you know, I really did gain some wonderful things and some wonderful parts of me by having that horrible relationship. That sort of thing. These are the amazing things that have happened. And to think that you could suffer an injury of some kind, like having a bomb explode in your face, and it would be your soul's plan that it was what you needed, the pivotal thing that what you needed to experience in order to bring out your healing abilities so that you could then work with others and help and enable others to their greater good. It's amazing.
You know, we have my
empowering book.
Yeah. Hello. Are you there, my 6 p.m.?
Yes.
Hi. Hello. How are you? Would you like to talk to Stacy Wells?
Yes, please.
Hi.
Wonderful. I'm here with you. Please tell me your name and your birth date.
It's Pamela, and it's 9159.
Thank you, Pamela. Now, what can I do for you this evening?
Well, I have been shown something about a person in my very near future, and I was wondering if you could see it.
Give me a little bit more to connect with, please. Are we talking about a romantic relationship in your very near future?
Yes, a very serious romantic relationship.
And just so I'm very clear about understanding this, this is not an ongoing relationship right now?
Nope, nobody I know.
Okay.
That's good.
There are two things I keep hearing. One is 2 months, and the other one is 10 months. I have a sense that you're going to meet an older gentleman right around your age, maybe 4 years difference. And I think you're going to meet him within a month or two, three at the most. I have a sense of there being distance or travel involved in this relationship. But at this point, I think that's all I pick up. I think I need to get a little bit more from you so I've got more energy to connect with, so I can be more specific about whatever it is that you're asking me.
Oh, well, I don't know what else to tell you. What would you like to hear?
Well, it just seems to me that somebody told you you were going to have a relationship come into your life very quickly, and you were wanting to know what more I could pick up about that. But I'm not sure I'm seeing the one true relationship that your other person may have told you about, because I have a sense of there being a significant relationship in 4 years that will be the one that is the next chapter of your life, the one that you spend the rest of your life with. And I have this sense also that this person is a teacher or a guru of some kind.
Hmm. Interesting.
As in, others come to him for wisdom and guidance and advice. And maybe he's a teacher. Maybe he actually has been a teacher. Hmm. So I think that's what I have for you tonight.
Okay.
Thank you so much. All right. And we have 928. Hello. Are you there? 928? 463-1214-453. Yes, hello. Okay. So let's try 770. Hello. Are you there? Okay. Well, you know, I think a lot of people get on the air and they're going, I'm not sure I want to talk, and we can understand that. Sometimes spirit stops whatever we're going to say, and
it's not an uncommon experience to just go blank, and that's why I always ask people to write down a list of questions they want to ask me and have it next to them when they call me for their reading.
Absolutely.
It's very common to go blank when it's finally your
but
time.
And if you would give out your website.
It's www.stacywells.com, and that's STACIWELLS.com.
And, you know, Rita, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi. Did you have anything else you wanted to ask Stacy?
Yes, I want to ask. You know, Stacy, I'm just, you know, you're so good about romances. My birthday is October 16th. And I'm wondering about, and I can't give a year now, I'm still in show business. But
I hear you.
I'm wondering if there will be another man in my life.
Well, what kind of relationship? Do you want somebody for a little while? Because you got several of those yet.
I got a bunch of those. They're hanging around, but I'm talking about a really significant somebody that I can really have fun with, you know.
Yeah, I feel like you've got five guys to go through before you get to the significant one.
Oh.
I don't think you're ever at a loss for an admirer.
Yeah, well, they're all too young or they're married, you know.
Yeah,
no.
But the significant one, I'm thinking it's still a few years away, and I'm thinking six.
Oh?
5 to 6 years away. But you have five other relationships to go through before then.
Yeah.
I'll meet him in the home then. We'll be sitting on the front porch at the rest center.
No, you won't. But he's a good man.
Hmm?
He's a good man, warm heart. Same color as you.
Mm-hmm.
Broad shoulder, stocky.
Oh.
Kind of reminds me of my deceased godfather, Red Callender. Did you ever know him?
Oh, I know Red. Yeah, I knew Red.
No way.
Yeah.
I knew Red because, you know, I grew up in L.A., so I knew all the...
so did I.
I knew all the guys, and... I actually when I started singing, I was such a kid, and Red Callender and all those guys were the people that I knew better than I knew the next bunch, you know?
Oh, my
God.
There you go. The karma.
Yeah, I knew him amazingly. I mean, with those freckles and sweet self. I remember him well.
Thinking about tonight's show, we were lucky enough to have Robert Schwartz early on. Robert wrote a book called Your Soul's Plan, Discovering the Real Meaning of the Life You Planned Before You Were Born. And here we go. Here is Stacy Wells, who is a psychic, and she's very much a part of Robert's book. She's on almost every page, actually, and here she and Rita Graham, my co-host, they know each other. So I've got to tell you, folks, I think we're on to something here that we need to listen to. We've all known each other.
I wonder if I've met Rita before.
Really?
You know? Maybe. We don't know. Maybe 30, 40 years ago back there in L.A.
In L.A.?
Yeah, because, well, when I was with Harry, we had 16 weeks a year at the Desert Inn. And that was just at the time that the Summa Corporation, you know, Howard Hughes, bought the six casinos. Then I went to New York to do a show for Barry Ashton in the Royal Box. It was the Americana Hotel. It's another hotel now. I forget, starts with an S, big time name. I forget that name all the time. But anyway, when I did this Barry Ashton review, I met the guy who's Larry Lee, Alan Lee's son. That Alan Lee brought the Folie Bergère into the Tropicana, and Alan Lee booked me into the Tropicana with a clarinet player from the old Steve Allen show named Gus Bavona.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh.
Did
you know
him? Yeah.
Gus looks a lot like Harry James. He's very handsome, very tall, big blue eyes. And he looked a lot. But I didn't want to do that old music. I mean, you know, I was a young girl. I was like, you know, I was standing here and saying When You're Smiling and Sunny Side of the Street and, you know, Somebody Loves You, you know. I want to sing a little Stevie Wonder and, you know, I can throw in all kinds of Gershwin and stuff on the side, but I still want to open with something that had some snap in it, but we had a ball.
Right.
I loved Gus. He was a wonderful person.
Amazing.
Of Red Callender's and Harry's and, you know, people from that era, and
it was
a great experience for me. I have a lot of stories. Somebody told me I need to write a book about that.
Absolutely. Yeah, you should.
You know, Rita has written a book. Her first book, your Karma Rising. And Rita, when is this book going to be out?
It is a suspense novel. It is a romp to search for the killer throughout the 19th century. It will be out the end of October.
All right.
And when is your book coming out, Ms.?
Well, I would like to know that myself. My book is about my travels with Mother Teresa and her sisters around the world, and it should be next year, 2010, and I mean 11, and I will let you know just as soon as we get it on board. But I know that as soon as your book gets out there, Rita, Karma Rising, we're all going to be grabbing it because, you know, sometimes a book comes along, like Rita Graham's Karma Rising, and you just want to read it. You don't care. It's like Rita has this thing about her where she goes, oh, I remember my past life, and I go, wait a minute, what do you mean? Well, tonight we have Stacey Wells, who is an expert on past life, right, Stacey? And is like, okay.
I'm on past lives.
Myself in that life, and I saw myself go to the place where the hero of the Philippines was killed.
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking, oh, this was in the days of bows and arrows. But then when he came into my room, I mean, he was there in my room just as before the sun came up, and he said, let's go to the square, and without moving his lips. Anyway, we go to the square, and I was alarmed because I could see he was dying, and I was fretting, and he said, it's okay because you're here. To this day, I do not know why I was there. I do not know what the purpose was for me to be there. I was at the top of the Intercontinental Hotel. Great band. And I do not know the purpose for that. But then when I came back a few years later, I realized I had been dreaming about that when I was a child. So you got anything to say about that, Stacey?
Oh, yes. First of all, you kept saying, I don't know how I got there that day. I don't know what that was about. I kept being told it was to turn your head around to look forward, to look. It was sort of like to unite you with the you that you were going to be in the future and that you are now today.
Wow.
To get you looking in that direction, to get your mindset going in that direction. And that moment, like, snapped you out of the reality that you had been and sort of got you to jump tracks to the higher road, let's say.
It did, because it just opened up a floodgate of all sorts of things. Right after that was when I saw the light.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw my first love. A few years later, I saw him leaving on a train. Then they called me the next day and told me that he had a massive heart attack in Las Vegas and was gone. And so I had several things that happened after that. And it led me on the path to look into eternal life and also to compare it with all the truths of the Bible. It's all right there. Right.
It's all right. Well, I want to tell you all, tonight we have Stacey Wells, who is considered the psychic, and we had Robert Schwartz, who has written a book called Your Soul's Plan, Discovering the Real Meaning of the Life You Planned Before You Were Born. Stacey, I want to tell you thank you so much, and Rita Graham, who has written a book called Karma Rising, going to be out in about a month, and everyone out there, we just want to tell you we love you. We thank you so much. Those on board that we couldn't get to tonight, Stacey, give them your website.
www.stacywells.com, StacyWells.com, and please go to the website. You'll find several links that you can click on to email me. And we can take it from there.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And we love you all.
Thank you. Love you. Thank you.
Just say bien can je date, que je le pourrai dans ton pays, je reviendrai toi, qui ne m'avais rien répondu. Je sais que tu ne m'avais pas cru, et pourtant me voilà tout peur, avoir confiance en moi, je ne repartirai pas. Qui n'a peut-être pas compris quand je t'ai dit en quittant Paris, je m'en vais le cœur lourd, je sais bien qu'un jour dès que je le pourrai dans ton pays, je reviendrai toi qui ne m'avais rien répondu. Je sais que tu ne m'avais pas cru, et pourtant me voilà, tu peux avoir confiance en moi, je ne repartirai pas, je ne repartirai pas, je ne repartirai pas.